Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, today is our first service in our new message series. Did anyone see anything up here that's a little different, right? This is a weight rack, and this morning, I won't name names, but I found out one of y'all had a 500-pound experience in a positive way with one of these weights back in the day, and you were a woman, and I just want to shout out to you, so I'm not going to mention the name, because I don't know if they want to know. If you want to know, you can, okay, we'll just keep that private, but look for the strong one, right? It's not me. That was not me being humble. I think I would crush. I do like 30 pounds and I can't walk, but my husband is into lifting weights. He loves to lift weights. And Pastor, Ryan Bastris, he was here a couple years ago and he was like, Brian, let's run a marathon together. And Brian was like, yeah, this will get me in shape again. This will be great. And so he got his running shoes, and that poor man, he didn't run a mile. Maybe he ran a mile, but that was it. He won 1 mile. He's still in the room. Thank God for my husband. He's still in the room to defend himself. He was only in the room for, or in the room. He only ran 1 mile before he stopped and then went back to lifting weights. So how many know if you've got something that works for you at the gym, just do it. Just be yourself, right? He's not Ryan Bastris, and that's okay. But Ryan was here. We were up till like 3 a.m., and then Ryan was up at 6 or 7 a.m. running before he came here and ministered for like 7 hours. I was like, what is happening here? He's got heaven's energy. We need an impartation. But this month we are launching Core Strength, which has to do with everything I just talked about. If you wondered why I was talking about muscles and lifting weights, I happened to see the video of, I forgot the country she was representing on the Olympics, but she was lifting weights, and I don't remember. I think it was like Argentina or something. I'm not sure though. Don't quote me. But man, that was an impressive video. I don't know if anyone else saw it pop up in your Facebook feed, but she lifted this weight and she won the gold, and I was sweating for her, right? I don't find that pleasant to watch. It's too nerve-wracking, right? They're lifting it and they lift it up and then they like bring it down. And so how many know core strength really matters, right? If you've been watching the gymnastics at all, some of the core strength. Anyone watching Stevie? I know his name isn't Stevie. It's Steve, the guy with the glasses. They're calling him Clark Kent. Thank you. They're calling him Superman. He takes his glasses off and then he does the horse thing. I don't know. This isn't in my notes and you can tell. But do you know how much core strength it takes to put your arms on a block and then I can't even do it like without lifting myself off, right? It's so much core strength. The whole Olympics would not happen without core strength. So can you just say core strength? So we're going to unpack that this morning. And if you wore your gym shoes, shout out to you. Someone commented that I didn't, but my confession is these are my gym shoes because I don't lift. So, and I don't run at the moment either, but I hope you wore your gym shoes. So while I was at the gym, I decided to hop on a treadmill. People started giving me weird looks, so I started jogging instead. Thank you. Thank you. All right. A man in my gym just proposed, and she said no. They didn't work out. Oh, is that too? It's only going to go up from here, I hope. So that was a Brian joke. He's not even here. All right. Well, last month we talked about mind shifts in Jesus, and the most dangerous kind of Christian is the one who thinks like heaven, right? Never let God's exponential power and love be limited by your mind for your life. How you think determines the course and quality of your life, it says in Proverbs. And there is no limit to the transformation of Jesus, right? There's no limit to his transformation. We may have, you know, human limits, but Jesus is bigger than all of that. Isn't that amazing? And our vision this year and ongoing is to see thriving homes transform cities. And our city is transformed to the level our minds are transformed in Christ. Say that one more time. Our city is transformed to the level our minds are transformed in Christ. So it's a responsibility, it's an inheritance, it's a gift, it's nothing we could ever earn, but it is received through surrender, right? And through faith without works is dead, right? So there's a participation that we're invited to, but it's not works. But transformation is important, right? So what good is a thriving home if it isn't strong enough to sustain the growth? That's what I was thinking about this week. Our vision is thriving homes, which means growing homes, among other things. Thriving means several different things. But how many know a growing home that isn't actually getting stronger is a malnourished home, and it will quickly fail and fade, right? There's a growth that comes through God, but there's a strength that is necessary to walk out that growth, right? So Tom Stoltman is the current world's strongest man. He stands at 6'8". He weighs 400 pounds, and he squatted 717 pounds. He pressed 490 and deadlifted 790. And Brian, of course, must look at this guy online for inspiration, and not that he's going to become that, just putting that out there in Jesus' name. But anyway, apparently Tom Stoltman is autistic. And one of his life messages is that you don't have to have anything stop you from achieving your goals. Isn't that amazing? Rebecca Roberts is currently the world's strongest woman, and she deadlifted 661 pounds. I can deadlift about 15. I know some competition is in the house. But that's some strength right there, right? So when we talk about strength in our house, you know, Pastor Brian kind of thinks of the different gym things that you can do. And I'm sure he also thinks of this, but what I first think of is inner strength, right? Have you ever met somebody and you look at what they have been through, or they start to open up a little bit, and you just think, how are you still standing here? And I know for most of us in that room, that's actually our personal story as well. How are you still standing here, right? And I hope it's because you have leaned into the strength of Jesus. Because if we're trying to stand here without his strength, it's exhausting. Have you ever tried to earn your way into the strength that you need to get through your day? It doesn't go very, very well, right? Looking back at Daniel chapter 3, that was our daily Bible verse this week that Pastor Caleb encouraged us to listen to and to read. And I encourage you, we have new Bible studies at the Hub, and scan the QR code in front of you, because this week is all about God's strength, and it even breaks it down into a little bit more practical than I'll get today, because this is the introduction. But I encourage you to do that Bible study every day on your own. But looking back at Daniel 3, when a nation bowed, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a core strength that caused them not to bow when the culture around them did, right? David had a core strength in God not to give up when everybody, even his own men, turned against him in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says he strengthened himself in the Lord. That's important. Esther had a core strength that led her to set her people free, right? There's a core strength. It's important to grow. It's important to take the next step, as Pastor Caleb said. But there is a strength that is required to take a step, right? There's a strength. There's a courage. And so our key verse today is Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait," can you just say wait? "Upon the Lord will renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint." We're going to be unpacking that verse the entire month, and I had to restrain myself from going into some of those words because they're so powerful. So we'll be doing that over the coming weekends here. But first off, I just want to define tired, weary, and faint. So tired means exhausted. Weary means to toil. And faint means to be ruined. So they will run and they will not toil. They will walk and they will not be ruined. Have you ever gone on a really long walk and been absolutely ruined the next day? That's not going to happen to you with Jesus, right? Spiritually. And then that word fall means to stagger. Some of us have been staggering through areas of our life. Maybe it's we're stunned in shock because of what we're having to deal with, or we're just staggering because of everything going on around us, or maybe a decision that we've been trying to figure out how to make. During worship, I just felt like somebody in the room this morning may be tempted to go back. That first song says, goodbye yesterday, right? I'm not going back. I just want to speak to you, if that's you, don't go back. There's a future, there's a hope in Jesus this morning, amen? But it is more culturally normal to be exhausted or work extremely hard or be ruined or stagger through life than to run with strength, right? So when I asked Pastor Caleb, hey, how are you doing or what are you up to? What's the number one culturally normal response? Good, but I'm busy or tired and busy, right? In fact, that's usually like, me too. What are you tired and busy about, right? There's a certain reality to that, and that's okay. It's good to be real. But there's an invitation when you get born again in Christ to access a deeper reality. Amen? God doesn't just want us to grow in him. He wants us to be sustained in him through strength. He wants a sustainable growth. Are you following? All right, so number one, we're just going to define what core strength is. That dictionary definition of core strength is the strength of muscles that help stabilize the body and control posture. For children, it's defined as children's ability to keep their posture and move from the center of their body outward. When we're looking around at everything going on right now in our world, it is now more than ever, which is always true. I love it when pastors are like, now more than ever, and it's like, I think we could also say that tomorrow and for the rest of our lives on earth. But now more than ever, there is a need for the church to live from the inside out, from our core in Christ out. If we live from the out in, if we're basing everything, our attitude, our stability, our posture, right, our perspective on everything that's going on around us, we're not going to have correct posture. We're not going to be able to sustain walking out our faith. Are you following? It's so important right now. And that's why we can talk about thriving homes and we can talk about transforming cities. All of that is the Great Commission. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus. It's why Jesus came. It's why the Holy Spirit is with us. But he's also with us so that we can walk in strength, right? So when I was younger, I did dance, and for several years, I actually ran a Christian ballet school, and everyone always thought I was the perfect body type for ballet, right? I still get that sometimes today, and I'm like, no, you don't understand, because what started to happen real fast is in those photos, right, of all the dancers, it was like, you know, Sarah, Jill, like whatever, and then Hannah, and then, you know, Maria, and right? And so what you don't realize is I was very obviously tall, and it didn't really work out very well because there's some side effects to growing really fast. And if you're tall, you know what these are. And some of us still suffer from these side effects. I don't know why. I stopped growing a long time ago, but I think it's just part of who I am at the moment, right? Why is this? Muscle growth can lag behind bone growth. Did you know that? So all those years when I was trying to dance, right, run a dance school and be a ballet dancer, I was growing so fast, and my muscles were not able to keep up with my bones. So what did that mean? I was pretty stiff. I had joint pain. I was kind of gangly, and I was really clumsy, right? I tried playing basketball once, and I twisted my ankle. I never went back on the basketball court. My dad went to Yale on a basketball scholarship with Mrs. Spalding's basketball, like literally Mrs. Spalding of Spalding basketballs. That was not my destiny, thank God. But I'm just saying, when you're tall and you grow quickly, there's another part of this, which is actually strengthening, right? And as the church, and even out in the world, what is it all about? It's always about going to the next level, go to the next level. What's your 2.0? What, like, right, all of that. But what about what is sustainable? Because God cares about sustainable growth, not just growth spurts. Are you following? So if you grow and you don't stretch and you grow and you don't strengthen yourself, you're going to have a painful crisis. And some of us have ended up in painful crisis because we didn't stretch. We didn't strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we were growing. When we got that promotion or when that transition happened, we didn't take a moment and say, wait a minute, how am I strengthening my marriage in the Lord? How am I strengthening my finances in the Lord? How am I strengthening my identity in the Lord? How am I strengthening how I'm working in the Lord? Are you following? It's not just enough to grow in Jesus. We must be strengthened in him so we can run with endurance and with health. This is so important. What good is it if you just grow tall, but you don't move, right? I was on my way. So I looked up growth spurts, side effects. Disproportionate body parts. Yep. Growing pains. Anybody ever have a growing pain? Eating and sleeping issues. Coordination issues, which just seems to be part of my story, right, forever. But joint and muscle pain, right? And voice changes. So as we've been unpacking thriving homes, I'm wondering if you've experienced any of this. Is one part of your life been thriving more than another all of a sudden? Is what was easy now more difficult and you can't figure out why? Have you had a fresh hunger for God that started to disrupt your daily life in a positive way? Has your voice shifted? You're saying things you've never said before because of the mind of Christ in you. That's a growth spurt side effect, right? Oftentimes, we think that those are negative. It's like, I'm under attack. It might not be. You may have just grown in Jesus, right? And when you grow, what was easy sometimes gets a little more difficult because you're actually in a different space. You following? What good is a malnourished growing home? It won't grow long before it starts to faint, right? So Ephesians 6:14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, I asked my husband for this belt. I don't know. Hold on. I'm not going to lift anything during this month. I'm just going to put that out there. Ever. For any dramatic. I know some pastors go all out with demonstrations. Hold on. Clearly, I don't wear this. This is also my husband's size. So I'm not lifting anything on this. I may not even stay up. That's not good. I didn't practice that. But anyway, this is what we call a weight belt, a lifting belt. I didn't even know what it was called. Everyone say lifting belt. Okay. Thank you. Now we all got it right. So when we read, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I don't know about you, but if I was designing the armor of God, I would have made the helmet of truth, right? Renew your mind in the truth of God. It's about your thoughts and all of that. But for some reason, it's the belt of truth. Now, I'm sure there are a few reasons why this can be, but for this message series, we're going to talk about it as a lifting belt, all right? When a bodybuilder is about to lift a heavy deadlift or a squat that is nearing their maximum capacity, anyone feel like you've been lifting some maximum capacity issues in your life? All right? They wear something called a lifting belt. It helps them keep proper form, reduces injury risk, and provides essential support and stability. That sounds an awful lot like core strength, right? Okay, I'm going to take this off because it's coming off one way or another. So when life is coming at you and you feel your capacity is maxing out, the belt of truth helps lift your burdens. Isn't that cool? That word truth in the original language means reality. It's the opposite of illusions. Have you ever found that when you have an illusion of a situation, you've lost your strength? When you've been deceived and you're believing lies about who you are or about the situation you're in or about God, it's like someone just sucked all the life out of you, all the strength, all the courage out. And when we wear the reality of Jesus in the core of who we are, the truth, in the core of who we are, there is a strength that is released. You following? Jesus's reality lifts what you are carrying when you hit maximum capacity. It says in Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. That word come means come now. It's an exhortation. It's not like come tomorrow, right? It's come right now. And that word weary, again, means toiled. And that word burden means literally to be weighed down. And that word rest is refreshment. There is a refreshment when we come to Jesus. Amen? When Jesus' reality is at our core, there is a refreshment of mental and physical capacity. There's a refreshment there when we feel depleted. And as we're getting into August and we're starting September soon, and you know, if you have kids, that means school transitions, whether you're starting it or continuing it, whatever kind of school you're doing, or maybe it's just work schedules and the seasons start to shift, there's an invitation to recommit our year to God. There's an invitation to not walk into September depleted. And I don't know about you, but I've been feeling a little depleted lately, right? We don't have to feel depleted in God. But what's interesting is that that mental or physical depletion doesn't always come just from something negative. It can sometimes be because we had a growth spurt in God. It's not always negative, but it is always an opportunity to invite God's reality into the core of who we are. And the issue with depletion is when you feel depleted, it feels like the whole world starts to close in on you, and you've got some self-pity knocking at your door. You've got complaining knocking at your door, discouragement knocking at your door. Or is that just my door that those knock at? When you're feeling depleted, it's like a magnet that just kind of all goes in. And instead, it's supposed to be a magnet to the heart of God and the truth of God that can set you free and bring you a sustainable strength to carry you through. Amen? So every time we feel depleted, it's an invitation to lean into the reality of Jesus. So I got to put a clock up here if we're going to keep the lights down. Okay. So number two, we're almost done here, is Jesus's reality of strength. So in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Everyone who hears his words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock." Now, I've got news for you. This church was not built on a rock. This church was built on a swamp. And let me tell you something, if I had to do it all over again, even though I was not the pastor when the church was built, I would build it on a rock, because the amount of headache that comes when you build something not on a rock, it's a nightmare. We have pastors' meetings about beavers and swamps. This is not why any of us signed up to be a pastor, right? And so don't build your life on a swamp. Don't build your life on sand. Build your life on the rock, right? That core strength. And it'll change your conversation. It'll change your priorities. It'll bring a freedom. Amen? So a thriving home is a home strengthened at its core because of its foundation in God. In Luke 1 and 2, we read three verses about growing strong. So first one is in John 1:80. It says, "John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel." I love this because John's place of strengthening was the wilderness. And that was actually pretty common. We have King David, we have Moses, we have some different Bible heroes who found that their strengthening time was actually in the wilderness. Anybody else find that you've been in a wilderness season and you're coming out stronger? And maybe some of you just need to be reminded that you're going to be coming out stronger in Jesus. Amen? So in Luke 2, we then read two different verses about Jesus growing. Now, my first thought was maybe he's very tall, right? We got two verses right after each other about him growing. But then I looked up the average height of men during the time of Jesus. This is not one of those like deeply theological things, but did you know it was only 5'5"? Thank you for somebody laughing. I don't know. I just always thought. So if you're 5'5", WWJD, right? All right. So Luke 2, verse 40. Hopefully that's not all you get out of today's message. I just thought that was interesting, though. Hey, if you're watching The Chosen, or you know, you've watched other reenactments, I don't think they always put Jesus as 5'5". I'm just going to say that. So I think that's cool to actually have a realistic idea. All right, Luke 2. Here we go. We're going to land here. So if you want to go there, that's awesome. Luke 2. We're going to be verse 40 for right now, but we're going to land it in verse 52. Luke 2, verse 40. "And the child grew," that's Jesus, "and became strong in spirit." I love that, strong in spirit. How many know your spirit is really the core of who you are? So he got core strength. "He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then in Luke 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew, and so did his wisdom and maturity, and the favor of men increased upon his life, for he was greatly loved by God." So at this point, you're probably thinking, You know, Jesus grew, so what? But these are actually two different words used for grow. The first grow in Luke 2:40, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, was right after he was dedicated. So we just blessed Timothy with that verse today, right? And after you have committed your life to God, there's a strength that comes. But there's a second strength that happens 11 verses later. So the first strength means to increase and to become greater, right? And it says that the grace of God was upon him. So it's the grace of God that causes us to be able to increase, to cause an increase in your life, right? But there's a second grew, which is in 52, which says to cut forward away. Originally of the pioneer cutting his way through brushwood, to beat whatever is right in front of you and to forcefully go forward, to trailblaze, to make progress with great effort. And it is used six times. So in 11 verses, we go from Jesus increasing in growth and strength to Jesus pioneering and forcefully going forward in strength. Isn't that interesting? And so these are two different strengths, and I think most of us live in one or the other, but God wants to give us both. He wants to give us the fullness of strength, his strength. You following? So that word pioneer, because it says it means to pioneer through brushwood, right? A person who is among the first to explore or settle a new country, to open up a road as a pioneer. Have you ever felt like you're a pioneer in your family, in your home? Whatever family, whether it's immediate family, relatives, or maybe it's breaking generational patterns of dysfunction, and you feel like you're pioneering where your family never went, right? Jesus was a pioneer, and there's a growth that is through him that is literally defining pioneer. So Hebrews 2:10 says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Jesus was our pioneer through brushwood, right? So what happened in those 11 verses? We're just going to end with this. It says in Luke 1:41 through 52, because we're backing up. It tells the story of Jesus staying behind in Jerusalem during the Passover festival and his parents leaving him behind by mistake. Now, if Jesus's physical parents could leave him behind by mistake, how much more can we miss Jesus sometimes in our own lives? If you think you haven't missed Jesus, that's probably a little whisper of pride, because even Mary and Joseph missed Jesus, right? That's like, hello, right? Right there in the physical. So his parents leave him behind, and then, of course, they go back to get him. Thank God, right? Or the Bible would be very different otherwise. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Has Jesus ever done something in your life, and you said, why have you done this to me? Right? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house? Just say father's house. But they didn't understand what he meant. And then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. As Jesus grew and matured in wisdom, the favor of men increased upon his life, for he was greatly loved by God. So I would have thought that after Jesus was in exile and hidden in Egypt, that he would have come out as the pioneer growth. Wouldn't that be logical? He literally goes to Egypt, comes back, but it's only after he's been in his father's house that he got a different kind of strength and a different kind of growth. There is a certain kind of growth and core strength that can only be found when you're living in the father's house, when you realize you are the father's house on earth. Are you following? Some of us have been finding our strength and our identity only in our testimony, right? Like Jesus, who survived Egypt, right? I survived Egypt. This is my testimony. I got strength from it. Well, there is a certain kind of strength that comes through our testimony. But if you only depend on that, you'll fade, because that's what a self-made man is made out of. And there are a lot of self-made men or women that, you know, kind of build up their life and they say, look at where I came from. Look at where I am now. Well, that's awesome if you're doing something different and you're building your life up in God, right? That's good. But there's only a kind of pioneering brushwood cutting strength that comes when you live in the Father's house. It's not just your testimony. Don't live in your testimony. Carry your testimony. He's writing your story today. But live and center yourself in the Father's heart for you. Not what he did for you, but who he is to you. The Father's house. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? Jesus built his core strength, the kind that progresses, forcefully advances. Remember, it says to the advance of his kingdom, there is no end, right? But he did that when he was more occupied by his Father than the earthly situations around him, right? How many would call our world just a little bit unstable right now? Just a little bit, right? And, as we go through this year, as Thrive, we are here to lift up Jesus and to find refuge in him no matter what is going on, and also to pray in faith, right, and to see in faith what God is doing around our world. But it feels a little unstable, so I just want to speak this out, because the instability of our world does not cause Jesus to be unstable. We just need to speak this truth, because it's very easy to get twisted just a little bit, and then it sneaks in and it can steal our core strength. The out of control instability of our world does not cause Jesus to be out of control or unstable. The world being in a state of chaos or insecurity does not make Jesus insecure or chaotic. It doesn't have to make you insecure or unstable. It doesn't have to make your home insecure or unstable when you have the core of who you are resting in the Father's house, in the Father's heart towards you, which we read to Julie. That was for all of us, really, this morning. Our level of core strength is related to our level of trust in God, right? It says those who wait upon the Lord, or those who trust the Lord, will renew their strength. Today, God wants to restore trust. That is not a small task. It may be a baby step. It might be a big step for you today. But God wants to build your trust with him. It says Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Ephesians 3. Today, God wants to heal the places where we've let illusions enter our identity. And he wants to replace those illusions with the reality of his truth right at our core, like a lifting belt, so that he can lift our burdens. Some of us have been carrying our burdens so long it feels safer to carry them ourselves than to leave them at the foot of Jesus. I want to invite you right now just to take a moment. If there's a burden that's coming to mind, if there's an area of your life where you've been feeling depleted, I just want to invite you to say after me, Jesus, I give you this burden. I give you this area of my life. And I invite you to be strong in my weakness. I invite you to be known in my life. Corrie Ten Boom says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. So right now, I just bless every area in your life that is unknown in your life to encounter the known God. I bless every area that has illusions to encounter the reality of Jesus. I bless every unsustainable area to meet the sustaining strength and vision and power of the Holy Spirit. I bless every broken area of disappointment and discouragement and despair to encounter the healing power of Holy Spirit right now. And I bless every area where you feel weary, where you feel stuck in toil and exhausted, to be renewed by the living God who is alive, moving and breathing and healing in this room today. Jesus, we just thank you that this month is a month to go to the gym with you. God, we invite you to do a work in our lives, a work in our homes, and a work in our city, Father, that we have prayed for, that you would renew strength, whether it be physical healing. Some of us need physical healing strength, whether it's mental strength, emotional, spiritual. God, we thank you that your strength is enough for us. You are enough. You are greater than anything that we are bringing to you. And we ask you to move in power and in might through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.